Hello, welcome to another EG podcast. I'm Damien Wild. Today I'm joined by the outgoing and incoming group chief executives of Savills. Jeremy Helsby is leaving the top job after 11 years. Having joined the firm in 1980, he's not riding off into the sunset entirely and will continue as a consultant to the business. His successor, Mark Ridley, has been with Savills since 1996 and has led the commercial business, the UK business and the European business in that time. Jeremy, Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Damien.
Morning.
So, 6 decades of experience taken together, that's quite something invested in the business and a seamless handover. Is it really that simple and is it that common, Jeremy?
Two questions there. Is it that common? Probably not, to be honest. I think, you know, I've done 40 years, as you say, and Mark's done 20. So 60 years in one firm for two people, I think that's pretty unusual. So yes, I'd say definitely that's not common. In terms of it's seamless, I hope so. We've certainly planned it that way. This has been in the making for some years. I've obviously known Mark for a long time, and he's always been my chosen successor. So this has been planned for the last, I suppose, 3 or 4 years. So as far as we're concerned, it's definitely seamless. And I think as far as the market, the staff, and indeed the shareholders are concerned, they've also been very positive about it and have encouraged it and have welcomed it. So yes, hopefully, very seamless.
And Mark, do you know what you're letting yourself in for?
Yes, those 20 plus years, I've been prepared for it, and seamless. You can't see me kicking Jeremy under the table. It's a great thing about podcast. But no, look, it's been something that I've been sort of planning with Jeremy for many, many years. And I'm delighted to take the helm. You know, the business is in a great position, and we intend to continue to grow our market position going forward.
Okay, thank you. And Jeremy, I'm going to ask you to cast your mind back now. Think about the business you joined. How was it different to the business you're handing over?
Blimey. Well, I joined probably before most of your listeners were born. So that was almost 40 years ago. In those days, it was a predominantly agricultural and residential business. It had a turnover of 12 million, a profit of 1. It was a partnership. It had no overseas offices at all, and was predominantly transaction dominated. So compare that to today, 1.6 billion of revenue, 600 offices in 60 offices overseas, over half our revenue, almost 60% coming from overseas, and now probably nearly 60% coming from what we call non-transactional, less transactional business. That's a dramatic change. So it's been a huge, huge difference and change, and all for the good, I would hope.
And thinking back to day one, did you think this is the sort of business I'll spend the rest of my career in?
No. In a word, I mean, in those days, you never thought like that. But if you'd said to me 40 years ago, did I expect to be sitting here as a global CEO of a business with 36,000 employees, I can safely say you'd have been smoking something interesting at the time.
And businesses rarely grow in a linear fashion. Could you think back, what were the two or three key moments that led to a colossus?
I would think the most transformational transaction we ever did was the acquisition of FPD in 2000, which was our Asian business. At the time, the plan was that FPD would acquire Savills, and then we had the Asian crisis. If you recall, in those days, we were branded FPD Savills. And then, in fact, the Asian crisis came along. We saw it as an opportunity to buy 100% FPD. And that gave us our Asian business, which is now unquestionably one of our biggest growth engines of the whole business. So I'd say that was unquestionably the biggest and most, well, at the time it was our largest in financial terms, but in terms of transformational, that was a truly transformational deal for us.
Okay, thank you. And Mark, you're a relative newcomer to the firm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The person sat next to you. But when you joined, 96, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did you think, were you in a frame of mind where you wanted to lead a business at that stage, or has that crept up on you gradually?
Well, look, I think the business I joined was also very different, as Jeremy's outlined. I was asked to set up the first regional commercial office outside London. The great thing was I didn't know what I was doing. They didn't know what they're letting themselves in for, and it worked. And the business grew. We became, you know, a regional business. We became a European business, and then the global business. So we've gone through those transformational steps. So I think, you know, look, it was about continuing to grow. We wanted to service our clients wherever they had needs. And that's why Manchester, Birmingham, Bristol, and many other businesses started to grow from that. So, look, I think it's been a continued growth story. And I would say to you going forward, that's what we're going to do, you know, going on from here.
Okay, thank you. And Jeremy, Mark saying there that he set up the first regional business. You were involved in setting up the first business in the States, weren't you? The first international business, wasn't it?
Yes, I was one half of the workforce that went to Washington in 1984 to set up a land agency business effectively in the US, advising overseas investors on buying farmland in the US.
And you ended up back in the UK. That, again, crisis came along and changed things there. When you came back to the UK, is that something that, and you were sent to Canary Wharf, I think?
I was.
It wasn't my penance. It wasn't the Canary Wharf of today.
No, I came back. I didn't really have a job, to be honest. So they found me a job in Canary Wharf, or in the city leasing team, which was doing Canary Wharf. In those days, that was just two buildings. That was the Morgan Stanley building and the CSFB building. Nothing else was built there. You couldn't get there. There was no road. There was no rail. There was only the river bus. So being asked to go and try and lease empty buildings in Canary Wharf was probably a baptism of fire.
Made you the person you are today?
Well, it was certainly a challenge.
You're still scarred with it.
Still scarred. And there are challenges continuing to today, Mark. You know, we're sitting here in the week of a crucial vote about the UK and its future, and there will be challenges that follow on from that. Is this a good time to be taking over a business of Savills size?
Look, when I took over with Jeremy's previous role in 2008. It was a year before the GFC, so I'm used to having turbulence, and it is turbulence, and this is obviously self-imposed turbulence, but we will get through it, whatever happens. And look, I mean, the markets remain, even in the UK, the markets remain very stable. If you look at what's been going on in London, you know, investment volumes in the city are up. It's about 7.5% up at the moment. We'll see what the last month brings us, and obviously that's not ideal, having some of the, you know, the challenges right now. Same with leasing volumes both in London and also, you know, around the country remain really good. So, you know, we will get through it, whatever the outcome will be. And, you know, the world is still wanting to, you know, invest in the UK. We're still the number one sort of global cross-border destination for all that capital. So, I think it's a good time to take over. I like challenges. And again, I think the other piece finally would be that when we've had more difficult markets, you know, sometimes that's the best time for the business to grow because there are more opportunities to grow.
Okay, and where do you see growth opportunities next year?
Continuing growth in Asia. As Jeremy's said, we've already, you know, opened in India, as an example, where we will have three offices and potentially a fourth coming forward there. So Asia is a big focus for us, despite, you know, obviously US, China worries of trade wars. You know, we can grow our market share. We're very strong in many of the markets, and a continued growth and diversification there. So that's a big scope. And I would say, looking forward, Asia will probably become the biggest part of our business in the future. In terms of revenue and profit for the future.
How quickly do you think that might happen?
Over a period of time. Look, we're not in any desperate rush. The key is to make sure it's sustainable growth. And also, we like to have a diversified model where we have less transactional alongside transactional. So it will take sufficient time. But that's a real area of focus for me and the team going forward. That doesn't mean that we're giving up on UK. I mean, you've seen this year that we've done several bolt-on acquisitions, and we'll continue to grow our footprint, you know, new offices in Newcastle, in Knutsford, and obviously also in Guernsey. So we've acquired a small business there. So you'll see continuing growth there. Europe, as you can imagine from my perspective, is unfinished business. I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, managing and working with the teams there to grow Europe. You know, and now we are market leading in, you know, many markets, Ireland, Spain, very strong in the Netherlands and Germany. So continued growth coming forward there too. And then finally, US. Look, there's more to do in the US. You know, we've created a great business through our acquisition and then add on to that. And that's where Jeremy, particularly in the future, will help me in his new role.
Okay, thank you. And I'll ask Jeremy about that role in a second. But you talked about growth. Presumably that will come organically. You mentioned teams coming in, I think. More acquisitions as well?
Yes. And look, where it makes sense to look at a strategic bolt-on, I don't expect us to have major acquisitions. But where we see, you know, really good opportunity to create a platform, especially where if it's an area either we're small or not where we'd like to be, then obviously that makes sense to look at acquisitions as well as organic. But I'd say to you that, you know, I prefer organic. It's better to integrate, it's easier to integrate and actually create the culture of the business through that organic structure.
Okay. And Jeremy, Mark alluded to your role going forward. What does that role entail?
Well, what I've agreed with Mark and the board is to stay on as a consultant for a year, specifically with the US. So this is not a general consultancy on the whole business. It's just to help Mark navigate his way through the US. He knows the rest of the business very well, but the US has always been my baby. And so it's really just helping him understand the challenges and the issues going on in the US and help him grow that business over the next 12 months or so.
And so when Mark sits down to do your 2019 end of year appraisal, what are the KPIs? What does success look like for a year's time?
In the US?
Yes.
Continued growth in the margin. That's the key issue. We've been investing heavily in that business over the last 2 years, and a result of which clearly the margin has had to take the impact of that, and we've recognised that. But I think a lot of that investment has now taken place. We're going to carry on this year doing, I think probably we'll do two or three what I'd call infill acquisitions in the $5 to $15 million type range, much as Mark has alluded to elsewhere. So I think bedding those in, we've certainly got a couple on the go at the moment, which we may or may not do. But that would be one thing. I think secondly, also is maintaining the culture and maintain the links. The challenge with all our businesses globally is making sure they link in into Savills globally. And I think that's where I've got a role to play. Obviously, I know the characters there well. I know the characters around the world and making sure that, you know, where there are. I mean, we just heard this morning, we've just done a big deal in Australia, where that was a Savills Studley, a West Coast client that's just done a big deal down in Australia. It's those sort of bondings where clients from the US and vice versa investing or taking space in each other's markets, where I can help be sort of the catalyst for those acquisitions to continue and to grow across the globe. That's what I'm good at and that's what I'd like to be doing.
Okay, you mentioned culture there. Is the Savills culture different to that of firms of similar sizes or even larger?
I think the culture of Savills is unique in the UK because it's been here for so long that we've built it up over the UK. And the challenge has always been as we grow across the globe is to ensure the culture we've got here can be replicated in the other countries and other markets. And I think we're really good at that. I would genuinely say that is something we are particularly good at ensuring. So let's take the Studley acquisition. When we did that acquisition, it wasn't just the money. It was, did we feel that these people had the similar culture to us? And we looked at lots of other companies, the same with FBD, etc. Whenever we buy a business, it isn't just about the money. It is absolutely about the people. You know, I always say to our investors, the balance sheet of Savills is not the pounds, shillings and pence you see, it is the people. And if you can't get the people right, you can't get the culture right, then everything else is irrelevant. And I think that's where, you know, Mark and I have worked, you know, hand in glove over the last 10 years to ensure that culture really is maintained across the globe.
Okay, Mark, fast forward a few years' time, I can imagine you saying something very similar. It's about the people. Presumably, you'll also be saying it's about the tech that that supports and underpins that.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, I think tech is having a sort of revolutionary impact on, you know, how we do business, and we've got to make sure we are, you know, at the forefront of that. And we are. Look, we're having it as a global initiative, so we have, you know, teams within all our regional businesses, as well as also within the investment management business, coming forward with new ideas. Some of those ideas we are investing in ourselves, developing them out ourselves. Some we're doing in partnership. And we've got to make sure we do understand. I mean, look, we've worked in partnership with you, Damien, with Radius as an example. So data, the analysis of data, the opportunities that gives us more accurate predictions, really important going forward. Same with, you know, buildings, investment in smart technology. You know, we want to make sure that all our landlord and occupier clients understand the opportunities to run buildings more efficiently, and that's so important, cost being, you know, the key equation there. And the same is true with, you know, all the other elements, whether it be 3D imagery, looking at how we can actually provide, you know, greater user experience in how we provide our services. So it's going to have an impact, and we've got to make sure we are, say, a first mover in that.
And do you think it'll make you less people dependent?
I think in some areas, yes. You know, look, in terms of, you know, artificial intelligence around extraction of data information out of leases, all that sort of, yes, that will perhaps, you know, reduce the burden. So when you win a new management contract, you know, you can look at how you can use artificial technology more effectively. The same would be true in, you know, in other areas, valuation. So I do think it'll have an impact in key areas particularly. But I don't believe that we're going to have a net reduction of employees. I think we're going to continue to grow, and where we see that opportunity, we'll reposition people.
Okay, thank you. And Jeremy, again, just looking back briefly, do you look back and think of a best day and a worst day?
Every day is great. GFC probably wasn't great.
So a bad day is less than great, rather than
I'm a glass half full man, as most people know. So no, I'm the eternal optimist, and always have been, and always see good things in everything. So even when there have been difficult times over the last 10 years, I've always thought that was an opportunity for the business. So even if you take the GFC and some of the things that happened then, you know, we were one of the very few, we were the only listed company that didn't go to our shareholders for funds, and B, we were certainly one of the very few companies in the UK that took a strategic decision to keep certain teams in place that clearly were not making any money at the time. A good example would be the regional residential development teams. That market was dead, and they certainly weren't making any money. And we took a strategic decision then that we were going to look after those guys and girls, that we accepted they were going to be loss-making. But if you're taking a 10-year view, that those markets would come back. And we were absolutely right. If you look now, I think Mark would safely say that we are absolutely would be a leader in UK residential development outside of London, by a million miles ahead of our competitors. Why? Because we've kept that expertise in place. So I think, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. And, you know, Mark's talking about what's going on in the markets over the next few months or so. We don't know. But where Savills has been very good is that we have always taken the opportunity. It's much easier to build your business in times when markets are a bit tougher, because people are keener to talk to you, and it's much more difficult to build them when everything is booming because everyone's happy and making lots of money. So I am eternally optimistic.
Okay, so for a view of the market, I should ask you how packed your diary is for the next few months, Mark.
Very, very busy. And I think that's the point. You know,
busier than mine.
I'll keep you busy, don't you worry. I think that, you know, whatever happens, you know, in the UK particularly, which is being affected by headwinds, I think we'll have clarity. And look, again, being a glass half full man myself, I do believe that, you know, with a sense of clarity, the UK markets actually could be very well positioned. You know, that they haven't, compared with some markets where you've seen very significant yield compression, the UK hasn't necessarily experienced that. You know, we've got our challenges like retail, you know, well documented, but that's an opportunity as well. So, you know, real opportunities coming out of the market, and we've got to make sure we're, you know, aligned to our customers, our clients. Because they will want to invest in so many areas. So yeah, as you rightly say, my diary is pretty damn full.
And what are you looking forward to least about fulfilling your new obligations?
Missing me.
No, I think I miss my wife more than Jeremy. And travelling with Jeremy is a great experience as well. But we can talk about that another time. But no, look, I think the most important thing is for me is to meet the people and enjoy their company. So I won't miss, you know, too much of what my previous role entailed. And I will stay very closely in touch with my teams in the UK and in Europe going forward. So some challenges there. Yeah, I'm sure I'll be busy and I'll get used to the insides of aeroplanes.
Okay, and Jeremy, what are you going to do with all this free time?
Good question. Well, for a start, I'm going to go and take some vacations because I haven't taken any for the last 11 years. Although
liar.
Ridley keeps telling me I have. So the first 3 months, I'm literally going to put my feet up a bit. But I've been offered a number of consultancies. A number of people have asked me, could I help and sit on various boards as advisors? So I'm reviewing all of those opportunities. I think one piece of advice for anybody who's going to do this one day is don't rush into things. It's easy to you get offered all sorts of exciting opportunities. The danger is you accept them all and you find you're as busy as you were before you gave up. So I'm going to take stock and then take on, you know, one or two consultancies.
Okay, well, Mark and Jeremy, thank you for coming into the EG studio, and best of luck.
Thank you, David.